Well, if I was going to sum up a key from Solomon to a meaningful or a meaningless life, it would be choices. And we come to Ecclesiastes 7, the beginning of it. And in fact, when the word better than, which shows up 7 times in these 8 verses, is a comparative, it reflects a superiority that is chosen out to be imminent or above other things. And so these meaningful issues that make one's life better are attained by making right choices. But the best choices we need to make are not the best ones we typically will make. And so the context of this discussion is after a tremendous discussion of the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. We aren't. We don't even know what's good for us. And God sovereignly permits us to experience things in life for our own good. And if left to ourselves, we don't see the good in which God is permitting. And so we see in verse 1 a few things. We see the superiority of a good name and then the superiority of all things of death. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. So to the Jewish mind and to the mind of God, a good name was something of extremely high value. A good name is the same as a good reputation or character. A name was no mere label in Solomon's day, but it was intended to express an underlying nature. Good ointment in Solomon's day, like ours, was expensive. And what Solomon is actually saying here is that a good character that is internal is far more valuable than a good perfume that is external. And then this kind of a different thing when you're talking about this, the superiority of death. What does that mean? Well, there's a strong grammatical connection and that connects this thought with the preceding thought. And the day of one's death is better than one's birth because at one's death, the good character is seen in the sight of God. A good character will be rewarded. And when you think about it, if one has a good name in the sight of God, the day of one's death is better than the day of your birth. When a person is born, he or she has all of life before him, and he will make sinful choices, and there's no guarantee one will wind up with a good character. But if at the end of life one has a good name, from God's perspective, he is much better off. Then we see the superiority of a funeral even. Look at verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Because the wise person who is right with God reflects on his own relationship with God and the temporality of his own life, a funeral has a much more eternal effect on someone than an eternal house of feasting. And then we see this superiority of sorrow. Look at verses 3 and 4. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. And the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Even though we don't like it at times, sorrow is much better than laughter. Situations of sorrow potentially can have a great purifying effect because they may lead one to repentance and great spiritual depth. And because laughter does not automatically mean happiness, truth is a person could be grinning from ear to ear and be miserably depressed. On the other hand, a person could have a sad face but have a happy heart knowing he is right with God and doing the will of God. Just because a person is laughing externally does not mean he is happy internally. And it's because wise people focus their minds on the eternal. The wise person realizes that times of mourning are valuable because those times cause the wise person to reflect on the eternal. Sorrowful times cause wise people to think about God, about the brevity of life, and about eternity. Times of mourning cause a wise person to take a serious look at himself and his own spirituality. And because fools focus their minds on the temporal, God classifies a pleasure seeker as a fool. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life as long as God is in the center of it. But a fool does not fear God and is out for pleasure. For the fool, pleasure becomes the basis for most of his decisions. If it will make him feel better, he's going to do it. And then we see this superiority of a rebuke. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, it's better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. And for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity. And so it's interesting because there are some people who actually will not go to church services because it rebukes them. And Paul predicted that this would happen as we near the end in 2 Timothy 4:3. And the Bible is not given to tickle ears. It's given to cut open souls. And laughter is short-lived. The imagery means laughter burns out quickly and makes a little noise, but there's no lasting simmering fire. It's all empty. And so as you reflect on that, what would you rather be, a fool or wise?